is where real and virtual motorsport meet. From the ITA studio, to the paddock, to the sim rig. Pull up a chair, pour a drink. This is the Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex podcast.
And it's Into the Apex. Tyler and Bradley in the main studio. Rob and Patrick will join us on the other side of the break. Joining us here early on is a new guest to the show. Nolan Feathers joins us from Ohio. I kind of got enmeshed into really a crash course in the Mid-Ohio campground scene and Mid-Ohio fanatic scene a couple weeks ago at the IndyCar race. And from that comes Nolan to us today, a well-recommended guest on the show, jumping on with us. Amateur racer, if I have it correct. iRacer, so one of us. And as recent as Mid-Ohio Truck Race, a spotter for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series at times. Nolan, thanks for jumping in with us.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm a little bit of a sort of a jack-of-all-trades, but not really an expert by any means, but yeah, whatever it is with racing, I've done it.
So, kind of starting, kind of by way of introduction, I'll kind of pose some questions on your iRacing habits because that's how we pass judgment around these parts. But actual driving, I think I've seen on some of your media, it's NASA, and I'm familiar with some of the NASA region up there in Ohio. But I know you, I think I saw some images of you doing some Miatas. Is that right?
Yeah. That's kind of where I started. I started with my Miata, street car, doing time trials and that and track days and stuff like that. But I've done, I've primarily done NASA and I've done some, Champ Car, AER, WRL, stuff like that. Just kind of all over the board. If it's, if it's a place that I can drive, I've probably done it.
Yeah, those series, I mean, they catch my attention. You kind of hit just about all of them other than, the lowest one, maybe Lemons, the more fun, whimsical one. But all those you mentioned, I've been to Champ Car at Mid-Ohio. I went to NASA at Mid-Ohio just to watch. And all of those kind of scratch the itch for maybe, is it fair to say, the budget, endurance, road racing person that wants to kind of get out there and actually drive and do a little crewing. I know you got to be able to wrench or have somebody that can wrench to get out there.
I think probably the easiest series to, kind of get into it, especially endurance wise, is probably Champ Car, because it's mostly, when it comes to that, it's mostly just a couple buddies that, they throw in, it's not cheap by any means, but they throw in some money and they either have their own car or, they throw in some money towards somebody else's car and, just go out for a weekend and race in a 8-hour endurance race or whatever it might be. And, that's probably I don't know about Lemons. I mean, I haven't done Lemons, but Lemons and Champ Car, the philosophy is about the same. Although, Champ Car is kind of where they started with the philosophy of we have a $500 car. Well, it's not really that anymore. I mean, they're trying to kind of cater more towards like the WRL, AER market, which, there's some, especially AER, there is some pretty high dollar shit in that, so it's not exactly budget focused. It's more that is some hardcore grassroots racing, endurance racing, even some pro level teams are dipping their wick in AER. So it's hard to say what's going to show up there. You don't know. It could be anything from an ex-Champ Car Crown Vic or when I raced AER at Mid-Ohio a couple years ago, it was I think the vice CEO of Google was racing a Ferrari 458. So,
dang.
You just don't know what's going to show up.
I've seen in WRL, at least specifically, some Porsche Caymans. I've seen, Random Vandals having some customer cars, Atlanta Speedworks, like some teams that have touched into IMSA a bit, Michelin Pilot and that type of thing, kind of offering arrive and drive or pay driver deals for those series. I think I was at the Champ Car race at Mid-Ohio in 2021. I had the privilege of holding the fire bottle over the wall. That's all I was qualified to do. I think the top of the crop that I saw there was this Team Salence with their kind of older Porsches. That was kind of the coolest thing I saw there. They had actual haulers and hero cards, and then you had a dude driving in a Wonder Bread Talladega Nights fire suit on the other hand. So it's definitely an interesting spectacle to get out there and see what's going on the pit lane.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and with the Salons guys, the Nana makers, you know, it's funny because they've over the years, you know, if you know their history, they have done about everything that you can possibly do, from grassroots level racing to pro racing. I mean, they had, you know, the Salons Daytona prototype there for a short little bit. And, you know, they have the, like you said, the Caymans. I'm trying to go back through in my mind the rule set here, because those were Grand Am, I believe they were ST series cars for the then Continental Tire series, if I'm remembering correctly. But they still run those cars, and they had some RX-7s, but I think they've since been crashed or blown up or something, but they called them ketchup and mustard. So I mean, those guys, they're it's really cool to see that, like, a team of that level operating at the grassroots level. But I'm sure some people are just sort of like, it's just they're bringing too much money into it. But I'm like, I don't care. I think it's great.
Yeah, I thought it was cool to see. I mean, I was there doing my little thing, and I saw that, and I saw hero cards. I'm like, hey, this is got some legitimacy to it. Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, I don't know the in-depth history of that company and that group of folks. I know about the 6 Hours of the Glen. I know they were at that Champ Car, but I've seen even in we're trying to dip our toe in endurance karting as our kind of way to scratch the itch in real life, and I've seen in the standings for the endurance karting series that we're looking at, a team sailing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they've got presence, like you just said.
But they're reasonable with it. They keep it at the grassroots level.
Well, they do now, I guess. Yeah. But it was interesting. Bradley has not been to anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Champ Car is all I've
never
seen.
Been to a regional quote unquote type of racing.
Those types of things. It's very cool, and it'll get you on Racing Junk website pretty quickly. I'll get on there from time to time and look at what's for sale. And just
I saw
think
an
about,
LMP3 for sale.
Oh Jesus! Yeah.
2019 LMP3 for only $125,000.
Yeah, Bradley's going to get on there and order a Ligier.
Yeah,
that's Bradley. Yeah. I'm looking at
I'm start counting on my fingers. How many people can I get to go into splits with this to make it reasonable?
I'm looking at used carts and thinking about the blood plasma I can sell to fund a karting career, and the weight I need to lose to fit into the cart.
From like amateur level racing to pro racing, it's. I mean, I was doing the amateur racing thing for a couple years and this and that, and then like COVID hit, and then everything. Tires, the fuel, I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know, but everything skyrocketed, and I was sort of just like, all right, this is no longer within my budget, so let's pump the brakes here. So but I've been fortunate. I have a couple like fairly good deals with some teams and stuff, and I've gotten some help to kind of still stay on track from time to time. I don't do it as much as I'd like to, or as often as I'd like to be on track. I don't drive as much as I'd like to, but I'm still doing it. I mean, I'm still around, but it is kind of tough if you're the kind of lower end budget kind of racer. But you can still do it. I mean, you can make it happen.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not quite like, say, if you want to play golf, you go drop $30 at a municipal golf course. It's not like that, but it's doable within a range. You just have to be resourceful, and I think about it.
Yeah,
about how you're going to go about it, and really be committed to it, and have that kind of support.
A lot of it's just partnerships and going into halves, thirds, twelfths, you know, whatever you need to do to scratch the itch.
Well, I would imagine so.
In most cases, in my experience, it's just, if I'm going to be blunt about it, it's just have a rich mom and dad.
Hey.
Oh, did I say that?
Yep. You hear that, Devlin DeFrancesco?
Well, that was the joke last week. The last week's joke, we were talking about the Gran Turismo movie and about how the guy like earned his way into a seat in real life racing. And my comment was, in real life, he in the end of this movie should be that he does all these incredible inspirational things, and at the end he has a chance to get a seat in the big series, and then somebody's rich father comes and says, "Nope, my son's racing."
Yeah, Nikita
and the
Mazepin
team's like, "Fuck you,
in.
Get out of here."
Yeah, Nikita Mazepin drops in and takes
like
that
money
seat.
Money makes the world
Latifi.
Go round.
So I want to bring in a bit of iRacing to our conversation. iRacing's our kind of meat and potatoes around these parts, and I know you're.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah, it is.
The meat and potatoes.
I went with that.
That was for Bruce Perry.
That was just
for Bruce Perry.
I committed to that.
The meat and potatoes.
I committed to that one. Cliche, as much
just
as it is.
Just the way you said it.
But iRacing is our thing around here. We don't actually ever recognize any other sim. Honestly, I mean, everybody that listens knows that. But I know that you're on iRacing. I think you're at your rig right now talking to us from that setup. So you've driven in real life. You've driven in the sim. That's something we are always interested to talk about. First thing I wonder is what came first? Did you drive in real life and then gravitate towards a sim? Or did a sim lead you to want to pursue driving in real life?
Well, I can definitely tell you that I started on the sim before I started in real life, but it's kind of weird because if you go back to the Forza days, yes, I'm saying that F word. like I used to do, you know, Forza Motorsport 4, 5, 6, what, you know, whatever it was back in the day. And then when I was 19, I got a good enough job to, like, you know, buy a sim, and I'm sitting there, I'm playing off of a laptop screen and this and that. I'm doing iRacing off of a little TV or a laptop screen. But, you know, I got tired of the Forza thing, and I knew that iRacing was kind of the real deal. So I wanted to try that out. And I've been on iRacing since, probably 2012. I was on there a long time ago. And then I kept upgrading everything a little bit here and there, and you know, just I would say in the past 2 years I've upgraded to like a pure like gaming PC, and I play off of my TV, which is like, it's a gaming TV because I'm one of those you know, Xbox X nerds and this and that. but no, to answer your question, yeah, I started on the sim first. And then I started driving in real life a couple years later in 2015. But it's kind of funny because as soon as I started driving in real life, what I had known from the sim, it really helped me to get acclimated to driving in real life. Like it felt natural. If that seems, I don't know how to really word that. Like, I just got on track. I really wanted to drive. That was like kind of my passion. And, With what I had done on the sim, it just felt second nature to go drive in real life, even though I had an instructor to help me and this and that. But it goes hand in hand, though, because as I started developing myself as a driver in real life, I would use the sim just like, you know, the pro drivers do. I would use it as a tool to better myself for the real deal. So it was like going hand in hand. I would take what I had learned in real life to get better on the sim, which sounds nerdy, but it's true. And then I would use what I had practiced on the sim to take it back in real life. It's not seat time, but it is, it's useful. I mean, there is a correlation there between the real deal and the sim.
That's a topic I'm interested in kind of diving into and just trying to pick apart as best you can. I know sometimes it can be tough to even describe. Very lamely. I've driven a street car at pace speed. God,
why are you even classifying
Bradley.
I've driven... I have a sporty car.
I've driven... Okay, fine.
He's driven his Toyota, his 2014 Corolla, and his 2022 Volkswagen Jetta. I have a Hyundai Elantra N, so it's a little more sporty.
What do you have, Bradley?
It's a Hyundai Elantra
N. We heard you.
It's a little more sporty. It's made for the track, unlike your Jetta.
So
I wouldn't worry about it because I've seen a little bit of everything on a track.
I've
seen it all. So
I've driven pace speed, mind you. I'm not Bradley's.
How fast did you get it on
Bradley's,
the straight?
Just calm down, Bradley.
VIR.
I've driven on the
Mister screaming at me to hit the brakes a mile before I.
Yeah, I know.
To.
There's a video of that. My point is not speed. My point is. Bradley's missing my point. I'm getting to it.
I get your point.
My point is not driving at speed on these tracks. I've not.
It's
done
the
that.
Fact that you are familiar with the track.
Yeah, I would call it more of a streetcar pace speed track walk. I don't know, for lack of a better term.
What you're trying to say is you have a knowledge of the track.
And it
gives you an advantage of somebody who's never experienced VIR ever before.
Buckle your seatbelts, Bradley. I'm about to throw a $10,000 word at you. I've studied the topography of these tracks by driving on them in just a streetcar. And I honestly, legitimately, to get around the world to this point, legitimately feel like when I jump on the sim, I'm better at those tracks than I was before. That's basically my point is getting out there in anything at any speed on these real tracks.
So you're saying it's the reverse, that being in the sim prepares you for the real life experience, but the real life experience prepares you for
helps your sim racing. Because I've always wondered, I mean, you see Verstappen being so fast at iRacing. He takes it seriously, but he's so fast at it as well. And obviously something translates.
I would definitely agree. Like I said, I started with the sim. And for instance, in real life, like I was kind of slouching on turn 11 at Mid Ohio, and then I figured out, you know, on the sim, if you just basically take your left foot and like the Global MX5 Cup car or whatever, that's primarily what I'd like to drive on there because it's more of a correlation to what I drive to about anything else in real life. Just like taking your left foot, you know, just pumping the left foot braking. And then turning in, which I have, like, so at Mid Ohio, I'm probably going to give away a secret here, but if you, there's a concrete patch on the right side that meets up, it's like the shape of a triangle, and it meets up with the grass. Okay, that's my turn in point in real life. Mm. And on the sim, it's the same way. And I developed that through the sim time. It's like you just pop the brake just before that and turn in right there, and you'll meet the apex about every time. So, it's just, I don't know. And honestly, when it comes to the sim, a lot of my, you know, buddies from the track, it's just nice to, you know, sit there with like a bottle of Captain Morgan and have a couple mixed drinks and just drive with your buddies. And, you know, honestly, it's, you'd think that it ends in disaster, but, you know, you just get like a solid buzz with your buddies who are all buzzing and you just have like the best time. Like, you'll be
nobody
like,
gets
oh,
hurt.
Yeah, like, hey, can we go three wide to the bus stop at the Glen? And, like, you know, usually four out of five times it doesn't work out, but you still try it. And, you know, there's always a reset button. So the sim kind of goes hand in hand between being, you know, for me anyways, like some, you know, development work. And if I'm going to go to a track like VIR, some track like that I don't go to very often, it's that side of it, and then the other side of it is where, you know, it's just a couple buddies having a great time, and it is a damn good time. I just during the summer months I don't hop on there as much as I'd like to.
That's a reality I think for a lot of people. There are waves of league activity. I know some leagues take off the summer just for that very reason, but that's the beauty of the sim, like you say. I mean, you can,
it's always there.
Yeah, well, it's always there, but you could take it as seriously as you want. You can get into serious competition and really get yourself worked up and stressed out and kind of get that experience, or you can have those fun runs and have a buzz and have a good time and try to do the wackiest combination of car and track and time of day and everything and just relax and enjoy yourself. I think that's a good shared experience that all of us have had on there.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I mean, honestly, I haven't driven with you guys yet, but I'm sure we will in the future at some point. Honestly, I mean, I haven't. Well, first off, I'd have to update my to the new season or whatever it's called. Or
yeah,
but yeah, it's just definitely because a lot of my friends that I have on the sim, you know, they're not local to me because I live out in, you know, the sort of the sticks of Ohio. Live out in the middle of nowhere, and all my buddies just live kind of elsewhere. So it's kind of a way for all of us to, you know, catch up and shoot the shit and talk some shit and, you know, just be stupid and have a good time, you know.
We're right there with you on that one. I want to get into a bit of some of the spotting you've done in the Craftsman Truck Series. You were spotting for a truck team at Mid-Ohio this past weekend. That seemed like an interesting thing to get into. I know with some driving experience, especially at that track, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to put you in that spot. Tell us a bit about that experience. That's not something that everybody that's a motorsport fan and participant gets to do every day, I imagine.
Spotting. Somebody not that long ago asked me about that. They said, you know, do you enjoy spotting? And I said, no, I fucking hate it. I'm gonna be quite honest. Because the thing is that when you're the driver, like, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on you, but you're that, you know, that one man guy, like, you know, for the lack of a better term, like, everything's on you, and you just go out and drive, and you just, you know, send it for Dale. I mean, but the thing is that spotting, okay, like, I was spotting for the same team, but with a different driver last year. So my driver goes into turn one at Mid-Ohio, and he goes out of my view. Well, within 10 seconds, he comes back on the radio, and he says, hey, you know, start packing up the trailer. We're done. And it's like, you have this immediate sense of, like, guilt, like, did I mess something up? Did I make the wrong call? And it just turns out that it was just a, you know, there was a pile up ahead of them that I didn't see. And the other spotter, our middle spotter, I guess I call him that, you know, like, he couldn't see. So, you know, it's stressful as hell, but it's also one of those deals where you know that being a spotter, like, that's in a very important job. And I've done it not just for NASCAR teams. I've done it, you know, for MX5 Cup teams. I've done it for just amateur NASA teams. Like, some people have radios in their cars, and they'll be like, hey, you know, I know you do this. Can you do this for me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I don't care. You know, if I'm not doing anything, hell, I'll be up on the hill, you know, sipping on some rum or whatever. But no, just kidding. But. Well, maybe. but no, yeah, with especially when you're spotting for, like, a NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series team, I've done some Xfinity gigs. You know, it's when you're spotting at that level of motorsport, it's just it is kind of like you take a step back, and like I said the other day on Facebook, it's kind of like, well, like, I was, like, 15 years ago, I was just some kid that was at Mid-Ohio, like, enjoying IndyCar racing, and here I am now. I'm working for, you know, an Xfinity Series team or a Craftsman Series truck team, and it's like, wow, like, this is baffling to me. I mean, like I said at the top of the show, it's like I've been there. I've done about everything. I mean, other than wrenching. I mean, I don't think you want me to wrench. Yeah. I'm not much of a wrench.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Us neither.
That could all end in tears.
Yeah,
a lot of financial.
I'll watch. I'll hold.
I mean, I can move stuff. I can do basic bitch work, but aside from that,
but yeah,
nothing's getting fixed.
And then somebody else asked me. He said, "You know, how do you get into doing something like that?" Actually, last weekend when I was spotting, I was at this Mexican restaurant with an older gentleman, and he said, "Well, how do you get into doing something like that?" And I was like, "Well, I was like, how much time do you have for this answer?" it mostly just comes down to, like, if you, like, I started spotting at a lower level, you know, just like SECA Spec Miata, stuff like that. And they know as a current driver, or as I would say, like, semi-retired driver, because I still drive from time to time, but I'm not doing it all the time. It's, I know what the driver wants to hear, what he needs to hear, and, you know, this and that. But yeah, I started low level at, you know, SCCA Spec Miata. A couple friends would have me spot. And then one of the spotters that actually spots for Kevin Harvick for Stuart Haas. Like, he's, this guy's the real deal. My buddy Sam Myers. He noticed that I was doing that low level. Well, he's already at the, you know, the cup level. And he, you know, I'm trying to think what year it was. It was 2016 or 17, somewhere around there. And so he goes, hey, do you want a spot for, I believe at that time it was before Xfinity. I think it was still Nationwide at that time. Do you want a spot for a NASCAR Nationwide Series team? I'm like, well, I mean, geez, I didn't think that I was going to go professional with this. But, yeah, I mean, I think I can do it. And it's funny now. It's funny now because of how everything's worked out. But the driver I spotted for was Ross Chastain.
Oh, wow. How about it?
Yeah. This was when he was still with JD Motorsports in the the number four. I believe that Flex Seal was a sponsor. But it was also funny that year because and I don't mean this in a bad way, because I had a great time working with Ross, and he was a good driver to work for. So that's why I still cheer for him to this day. But he did his usual aggressive driving dealio.
The Martinsville legend.
Yeah, and him and Joey Gase got into it, and I'm sitting there, and it's on YouTube. But him and Joey Gase get into it, and almost a physical altercation after the race is over. And I got my headset on, and I'm like, oh, the race is over. And I know things got a little weird over in turn four, but I didn't even see what happened because I was over in turn 11. And the pit crew or the crew chief or somebody, they're screaming over the radio, like, go grab him, come on, this and that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I get back to the garage, and I, you know, hand him back my headset, and I get home, and it's like, oh, well, Ross Chastain gets into a fight with Joey Gase, and I'm like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Oh, shit. So, wow. I've spotted for my buddy Preston Pardis. Last year I spotted for, in the truck series, Blaine Perkins. And this year it was Colby Howard. But yeah, it's been just an interesting, like, long and winding road. How, you know, like I said, 15 years ago, I was like just some kid sitting in a seat. I was 15 years old, you know, just kind of getting acclimated to road course racing. And then throughout the years, you know, I was driving, and now I'm, you know, I work for, so, well, not all the time, but it's just phone call by phone call basis, you know, pro teams.
That's something else. In the Mid-Ohio experience, I'm new to that community, but that is a tight-knit community that I learned just a couple weekends ago, being there kind of on the grounds. I'd been there a few years in a row several times, but I've never actually, quote-unquote, lived at Mid-Ohio for a whole weekend, and it's a very close, good group of people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think I listened to the podcast episode with my buddy Nate. And I kind of just got to meet the Blevins, I think, last year. And they're a hoot. Yeah, and just to say something about them. So last weekend, they're at the truck race. You know, they're kind of hanging out. There we go. Open up a can. Probably pour me another mixie here shortly. But I'm sitting there, and Nate and his brother, they find me somewhere. I don't know if I was up on top of the hill or if I was walking or what. And they're on their golf cart, and they kidnap me. And oh, no. I know now. So Nikki, Nate, and his brother, their his brother, they're going to go get slushies, but they're not just slushies. They're, you know,
yeah. I don't, certainly not.
Think they have margarita yeah. slushies or whatever. And so they're like, "Hey, come with us." And I was like, "Buddy, I gotta work." Okay, I'm like,
"Yeah,
I still had like maybe 45 minutes of spare time." They're like, "Oh no, we'll get you back here in time and this and that." So we go over there and they buy their wine slushies, and here I am, like they're getting drunk and wild and having a good time and living the life I want to live. But but I'm sitting there with my headset, my radio, and all that. And then they're like, "Oh, you gotta come and check out our campsite and this and that." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, we still got a little bit of time." And meanwhile, they're all sitting there like, "Oh, you wanna have a drink?" I was like, "I can't be having a drink right now. I'm on the clock." And no, they were just having a great time. They're the whole family's they're a ball. They're like they're a trip. But
yeah, I had a good time.
No, that whole podcast episode with him was hilarious. But like you said. On a more serious note, is that I don't know what it is about Mid Ohio. Like, it's just when it's my home track, so I go there, between club events and pro events. I'm probably there. I'll be conservative and say 10 times a year, because everybody jokes that you're always here, and I'm like, well, this is where I my home. Mm-hmm. And when you camp there, like IndyCar weekend, like I always camp in the same spot. My buddies always camp in the same spot. And every year we all just come together, and it's like, like, "Hey, Will, hey, Dan, hey, Big E, Robert," I there's so many names I could name that it's the same people every year. And it's like especially now with the date being on the 4th of July, it's like definitely a big time. Yeah, tradition. Yeah. I like it. My dad hates it. He said he'll never go to Mid. he loves racing just as much as we do, but he's just like, "Nah, I'm gonna go out to the campgrounds and hang out there." I'm like, "Well, Dad, isn't going like to Mid Ohio like going to a campgrounds?" Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's just the, I don't know. It's the perfect storm going to Mid Ohio, because there's always plenty of booze a flowing. Just having a great time, and the setting's great. It's kind of like me, I pitch a tent, and a lot of people, they have the campers and stuff, and just, I don't know. It has its own aura about it. Like, you're just, it's a good time.
It's like a adult motorsport fans playground, sandbox. Like, you could just go out there and have a good time. Well, we're going to take our break. I'm going to bring in our co-hosts, Rob Gregoire and Patrick Stein. Nolan Feather's joining us for the first part of the show exclusively. If you've just cracked open a cocktail, we've got a whole second half of the show to go if you'd like to hang around and be part of the conversation.
He put you on the spot.
Yeah, I put you on the spot.
Who, me?
Yeah. Do you want to... You got anywhere to be?
No, I don't.
Well, then stick with us for the second half. We're going to take our break. We're going to come back and talk a little sim racing and racing with the whole crew. We're going to bring the full party here into the studio. We'll be right back on Into the Apex.
Don't go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of Turn 1? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing or Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote. No purchase necessary. Into the Apex is going back on the road in 2023, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Pro Kart Concepts. Pro Kart Concepts provides top-tier carts, parts, and consumables to the tri-state area and support based out of the Pittsburgh International Raceway. If there's anyone that can get you set in the world of karting, it's Eric and Dan with PKC. Visit ProKartConcepts.com for more information. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit greathirehr.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see. Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards, I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. That's alienawards.net. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at Track Racer. Since 2008, Track Racer has been designing and pioneering best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. Track Racer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. Track Racer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, intotheapex.com, and support the show.
This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
Apex, Tyler Bradley in the main studio. Nolan Feathers joining us from Ohio through the second half. And Rob Gregoire dragged himself in
here.
Man of steel. It's an hour. It's always an hour later where Rob is because he's in Atlantic time. He is, quote, tired as fuck. Patrick's also, quote,
tired as
fuck.
I believe he said tired AF.
Well, I'm spelling it out here, bud. Patrick is tapped out, so Rob... Mr. Reliable, everybody. He made it in here. How are you feeling, Rob?
I'm tired.
Oh, well, I know that. Besides that.
It's the heat, really. It's the heat.
Yeah, it's very hot here, I will say.
It's like, I'm a lot further north than you guys. I feel like we have the exact same weather now.
We do.
Much.
That
like
is
100 to 110 degrees, and it's just like every day nonstop.
Yeah, it's humid. It's very sticky. Today's probably, though, the most humid day in eastern North Carolina of the year.
Yeah, I would have thought you would have had it better year-round than us up there.
You would think on the windswept shores of Prince Edward Island, but no.
Is it snow?
Is it
brutal? It's humid. It's like there's 100% humidity.
That's how it is here.
Yeah.
So, it's thick. Well, Nolan, you're in Ohio. I just came from Ohio. I mean, it stormed up there a bit, but typically in that region, it's not as humid. It's
live
as
weather report coast, featured right? by Into the Apex Podcast.
What's it like in Ohio at the moment? Is it sticky?
It's pretty sticky, but at least it's not too moist, you know?
Oh, we're all about moisture.
We don't want any dampness.
It's pretty hot, but it doesn't have the southern like humidity.
Yeah, that,
I mean, it gets humid here, and we bitch about it, but it's not crazy.
Yeah, Rob. we're practically at the beach here, where we are in North Carolina. Rob's literally on an island, so I guess we share that experience of that type of
a lot of moisture,
and that's the end of the weather talk, folks.
Yeah, it rains, downpours a little bit every day. It's just the way it is.
But I do know that I want to say, Rob, I thought you got an air conditioning unit for your sim room, and now you said you're getting a new one. What's the deal there?
Just spreading it around. You know what I mean,
you can't just say that. You're gonna have to elaborate on spreading it around.
just need another one. Just you know what I mean. Just need another one.
I mean, so you can't have enough AC.
The one I had in here was a little overpowered. Like, it was pretty big. I gotten a good deal on it last year for spa. So it's just funny that I'm getting another one this year pretty much for spa.
Funny enough, remember spa last year, Bradley?
Oh, God.
Not to get too...
It was so hot for spa last year. It was fun.
It was hot for you, but do you remember what happened to Bradley and I last year for the Spa 24?
No, I don't remember anything about you guys.
Well, love you too, buddy. Yeah, love you. Love you. Fuck you, Rob.
If you ever renew your vows, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll renew their vows in Antarctica.
I'm glad I didn't go to Mexico, you fucks. No, what happened last year, for those that are joining us in the past year on the show, Bradley and I, at the time, lived together. Yeah, I know. We don't anymore, thank God. But our little shit apartment, the air conditioning broke the weekend of Spa 24. Yeah. You remember that? And we were,
yeah,
it was 100 some degrees.
It was terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It was unsafe.
I fled to a friend's house. I don't know if I ever said it on the show or not, but I put my entire rig, the Fanatec CSL DD that's still relatively new at the time, the wheel, the table, because it's a whole thing. It's not a proper rig. It's weird. Rob's seen it. I put it all in the back of a 2000 GMC pickup truck and drove it across town to a friend's house with AC, set it up in their living room. And I'm sitting there going through a roundabout with my rig in the back of this pickup, going a little too fast on the roundabout, and my rig slides to one side. I'm like, oh my fucking God, my CSL, fall out of the bed of the truck. And that was Spa 24 last year. So I think we're in for a better experience this year, long story short.
I'm pumped.
Oh, my God.
I'm pumped.
I am too.
Why is it? What is it about Spa that pumps you
up? Le Mans anymore, it's just me. But Le Mans, is boring with the stress.
I've just been special event deprived. That's all.
Yeah, I would say.
Well,
yeah.
Because of your injury. So
yeah.
To fill
it was injury and then something else, too. There's a couple. I've just missed a couple events now for various reasons, and it's just kind of sucks.
Yeah, we missed the 6 hour to the Glen.
There was nerve. I bend it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was your fault.
I wasn't the only one.
I bend it, too.
But I put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
For sure.
I want to bring Nolan in, talk about iRacing a bit. Have you done any of the special events, any of the team endurance events on iRacing?
I think one year I did, I was part of a 24 hours of Daytona team, but, honestly, I just kind of stick to just hosting, like, I guess, for lack of a better term, bullshit sessions, I'll just go out and drive and basically turn into like a time trial, because a lot of the guys that I drive with are actually very, fast on the sim, and we all try to outdo each other, but usually with the help of some, alcoholic fortitude.
Yep.
it's nice to like hop on and just shoot the shit with your friends and this and that. I honestly don't do too many of the official things, because I feel like when I actually want to get serious about it, which I usually don't take much of anything serious, when I want to actually get serious about driving on the sim or whatever, and I do the official series or whatever, I'll hop on there and you're lucky if you get a lap where somebody doesn't, just take your ass out, and you're like, well, why the fuck did I just dedicate all my time?
Yeah, there's a bunch of wankers. Getting acclimated. They're all wankers. Yeah.
They're all fucking wankers, to tell you what. Fucking wankers.
So what we're saying is you need an invite to our annual Christmas party.
Oh, I was thinking the same. Rob, I know you were thinking the same thing.
Oh, for sure.
The Mad Sim Racing, it's Mad Sim Racing and Into the Apex. Annual Christmas party happens a couple weeks before Christmas in December on a Friday night. Basically, the rules are order an entire pizza for yourself and get fucked up. We're going to race Cadillacs at night at Talladega in full fog.
I see no problem with
yeah.
that. No problem at all.
Night of the year. Top five anyway.
Yeah, Rob gets very excited by it, which makes me happy because Rob's not excited tonight. He's tired as fuck, apparently. What did you do today, Rob?
I just had so much lawn work to do. I had to fix my mower. It's so much stuff. Just baking in the sun for hours.
On a Thursday.
That'll take it out of you.
Yeah. Rob,
normally wouldn't be so bad, but the hurricane took away all my trees.
Oh yeah, you got no.
The weather is the weather's bent Rob over and fertilized.
Yeah. Rob ain't got no shade to hide.
Rob, you might want to start getting into electric cars. Global warming is going to be a bitch for you.
Yeah, buy the Mission R. Why don't you?
No, the new Hyundai Ioniq N came out today.
Wait, what?
The new Hyundai electric N car.
I don't
has 600 and some horsepower in it. My Hyundai Elantra N has like 300 tops.
Are you going to buy it?
It looks amazing, actually. It's got regenerative braking.
What's it called? I'm going to Google it.
The Hyundai Ioniq, I-O-N-I-Q-N, was just announced and released today.
Ioniq 5?
Yes.
N?
Yes. It's a fully electric. It's designed to simulate an 8-speed manual. And you can actually paddle shift it, and it makes the synthetic sound of a car that has a gearbox.
By synthetic sound, you mean what?
It pumps it on the outside and the inside. There's the footage of it being driven where it sounds like it's shifting gears.
You're telling me there are external speakers on this car?
I think it's just the way the motor's designed to sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the brakes are much bigger than my
car. Looks like a hatchback.
It's a crossover.
Oh, is it?
But it's fully electric. It's
I've got a picture pulled up. Hyundai Ioniq, I-O-N-I-Q 5N. I mean, it looks okay.
Yeah, it's I'm hoping they have one next year at the IMSA races to look at.
Bradley's a Hyundai fanboy at this point.
I am. I like the aesthetic. I like the colors, the designs. It's just it's pleasing to the palate.
Fully electronic racing is just not going to do it for me. I don't know about you guys.
Well, we heard the Porsche, the GT4 E.
Did we hear it?
I heard it whine. Going around the
you
did hear it whine. It sounded like a golf cart going.
It sounded like a hearing test, and I failed it.
Well, could you imagine the day where everyone's camping at the track, and you know the sounds of the cars, and you wake up and hear the exhaust and the shifting. And one day you're going to be at the track, and it's just going to be.
No, you're going to have all these synthetic gear shifts.
I'll take it.
You know what the worst part about being a Hyundai fanboy is?
What, Rob?
Having to tell your dad you're gay.
Rob, if you were fucking coming to Pittsburgh next week, you'd get to ride in this thing. I'd throw you around in it.
Bless you, Rob.
I'd throw you around in this car. Mister, I was going to get one, too. I was looking into it.
Does anybody here watch Formula E?
No.
I will peek into it from year to year because like the cars do get a little better each year. And I just have this general, this curiosity of it, how it'll go. Like the product on TV never quite hits the mark, but it is just on a technology basis kind of interesting to see the progression year to year. Like they're actually pretty quick this year from what I can tell.
I know they look a little different this year.
I just can't
get into it. I can't get into
it. No, it's hard. I wouldn't blame anyone for not being able to.
What do you got, Bradley?
I'm trying to find some audio of this. Give you reference.
Okay, well, we'll keep talking about how
much. It was just released today or yesterday, so there's a lot of media on it right now.
Oh, I'm sure you've watched every single video. Yeah. I'm sure he's watched it all.
Starting to.
Privately to himself with a TJ Maxx tube sock. I've not watched much of Formula E. I think it's too gimmicky. We've talked about it, but I bring that up by way of saying that we've long planned a joint Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network show where Into the Paddock joins us and all of us get on and we debate Formula E because those guys like it and they watch it and we shit on it like it's a high-speed golf cart. So I feel like they're going to have smarter points, let's be honest. But we're just going to be like what Rob just did. We're just going to go for the throat. Like it's going to be very politically incorrect, and we're going to be like, it sounds very weak. I don't like it. It's pretty much it. It's like they're going to make a nuanced point about the racecraft, or we'll be like, it doesn't sound good. All right, here it is. Okay, what do you got for us?
This is the sound of the simulated shifts.
Is that the movie?
Make that go away. Yeah. That was terrible. I can't tell. That seriously sounded like a movie trailer or something. Those can't be real
sound. It sounded like a hit single by the band NSYNC in 1998.
Yeah, that was terrible.
get that away. It sounded like Backstreet Boys' Millennium. Like, shut the hell up.
It's clipped in, but you can hear the general sound of what it's going to be like.
I don't like
it. It's basically going to sound like a shifter golf cart.
I don't like it.
Because you can't make it sound like my Elantra N with the engine.
How about not electric motorsport cars? How about you?
Yeah, I like the idea.
You can have electric cars.
The thing
all
is,
you want.
They seem faster, and they have more torque, power.
I want to smell it, and I want to hear it.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Now, are you going to smell his rubber burning?
Yeah, I guess so. Not a good smell.
No.
Rob, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to sleep?
What do you mean, what am I
going to
do?
Are you going to
sleep? No, I thought we were going to race.
Well, I thought we were going to practice for Spa, but yeah, you said you're tired.
Am I allowed to be tired?
He can still practice for Spa.
I'm still here, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. I give you credit for that.
I was like 8 minutes fucking late. And I'm not even really late. You were late.
I give you credit. I give you credit. Well, let's cut it short. We're going to keep it short so we do need to, on our private side, practice for the Spa 24. Good luck to those doing that. Next week, we're going to be in Pittsburgh. Next week's show's on the road. Karting with Pro Kart Concepts at Pit Race. That's going to be an interesting one. It'll come out a little earlier in the week, perhaps, probably about Wednesday or Thursday. Before we clock out for the night, I want to share some different things in the community for folks. We don't do that a ton, but coming up Tuesday, August 1st, at night, about 9 Eastern, we're going to host a Carolina 250. It's a 250-lap race on iRacing at the North Wilkesboro Motor Speedway in the late model stock cars. We've been talking about this for a long time, and we're finally going to do it. But that's open to anybody. And more details, go to intotheapex.com, madsimracing.com, and join the Discord and check the community racing channel. And then, oh, geez, what else? Oh, one more thing. If you're in the North Carolina, Virginia region, and you follow us on social media.
Again, or South Carolina.
Yeah, South. Yeah, if you're anywhere near Charlotte, North Carolina, and you can get on social media, intotheapex.com has all of our links. Or if you're, let's say you're an old curmudgeon, you don't have social media, email me at madsimracingteam@gmail.com. I'm not going to spell it. You're an adult. But
please do.
We're trying to plan a roadshow / reserved karting event day at the Trackhouse Motorplex in Mooresville. So there are some different things involved in that. But if you're interested in being part of that plan and you're in the region or in the area sometime this fall, reach out to us on social media or email us, and we'll include you in that. So that's just some of the things we're planning for the road this fall that's kind of local and paying homage to where we are in North Carolina. So anyhow, Rob, thanks for perking up with us here for a second.
Yeah.
We're not going to see you next week at Pittsburgh. I feel like we're hardly seeing you this summer, but I guess we'll be racing with you.
Yeah, it's a summer off for me, but next year we'll be back.
Well, get that AC unit and send me my PC that you're giving me for free. Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, it should be shipped out by Monday at the latest. My nephew is going to use it tomorrow, so I just didn't pack it up today.
You're a nice fella. Bradley in the studio, he'll be on the road with us next week. And Nolan Feathers, our guest of honor tonight, coming to us from Ohio. Mid-Ohio expert, spotter, driver, iRacer, simply one of us. Nolan, thanks for sticking through the whole show with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. I mean, it's been my pleasure to be on here.
We'll keep you in the lineup of guest chairs and have you back again soon, I'm sure. And as we were talking off air, we'll probably catch you at the Rolex 24 and any other events we go to that you're also at. I think you're we hope to welcome you as part of the Into the Apex family.
Oh, you can count on it. I'm here, there, and everywhere.
And that's the show this week. We'll be on the road at Pittsburgh doing some karting. Can't wait to hear Patrick mic'd up on the track.
in his fire suit.
I've got
so good.
I'm gonna charge this shit.
I want to hear the audio of him spinning out, locking the rear axle, and spinning out the first turn. Because that's what we all are going to do.
I mean, out of
no practice.
He might do it. We'll see.
We both did it. It's a guarantee.
We'll talk off air about it. We'll put money on it. We'll put some money on it.
There we go.
All right. That's Into the Apex. We'll see you next week from Pittsburgh.
You've been listening to Into the Apex.
From Mad Sim Racing Media.
Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at intotheapex.com.